Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
And he accurately talks about, I think, how most fans feel. Look, if I open up the phone lines on Tomlin, and I'll do that right now, 412-928-9370 on a Tomlin Tuesday that people can watch on X. We've pinned the video up to our Twitter account, so you can watch us live there if you can't get to a radio. I think there are some Steelers fans that just, you know, think he stinks and that he's an awful coach and he's inept in all those things. Those Steelers fans exist. I hear from them. They call our show sometimes. They text in. They comment on YouTube on our show. They're out there. But I think most Steelers fans actually fall into the bucket that Eisen talked about, which is the group that are frustrated that, yes, they've won more games than they've lost in the regular season. But what the hell does that really mean? What good is that when you've gone this long without sniffing a Super Bowl, without even coming close? And he gave those fans a voice with those comments, which usually he does the whole, you guys are out of your mind. You totally are missing the point there. You think it's easy to win in the NFL? You spoiled Steelers fans. You don't know how great you've got it with Mike Tomlin. How dare you question this man's coaching acumen? He's done a 180. Like, he empathizes now, it sounds like.
Little bit. I'm not going to give him that much credit because he and others cannot help themselves but to say he'll coach in this league as long as he wants. I got news for you. If Mike took a job with another team and had three straight, like, mediocre to losing seasons to start his career, he'd get axed.
Yeah.
He is above
He wouldn't have the job security
there. He's like Big Earn McCracken above the law for one reason, because he coaches the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's it.
But you know what, though? I don't even really have a problem with him saying Mike Tomlin's going to be in demand if he leaves here. I don't. Because his overarching point is the one that I think shows that people like him, his contemporaries in the national media, I would say he's been Mike Tomlin's biggest cheerleader. I just figured after one bad game, he would be the type of guy that would go on the air and just say something like, guys, they just beat the Colts. What's wrong with you? Oh, can I have my producer pull up the NFL standings? Show me the AFC North. Look who's in first place.
Well, there's
right
a little
now.
Bit of a weird hive mind with all of that going on, since you're bringing up the fact that you're surprised Eisen is taking this tack.
Yeah.
Dan Orlovsky apparently pulled his head out of a very deep pit of sand to say on Monday morning, Steelers fans, I'd be very concerned by what I'm seeing or what I saw last night. Thanks, Dan. Nice of you to join the effing party. And then here's a guy, I think Charles McDonald. He writes for Yahoo. I actually like his stuff. I think he's a very good, like, breaks down how football works and schemes. He wrote a big piece about how it might be time to break this thing down and move on. But even then, he can't ditch the idea that, as he put it in like the third paragraph, Mike Tomlin, quote, has produced enough as Steelers coach to see this through in a transitional phase. It drives me nuts.
Well, wait a minute. Time out. What does that mean?
He thinks that they should tear it down, basically.
Yep.
But that Mike has done enough on the job here to see it through if he so desires. They have no idea or like care to like they don't care to like get into the nitty gritty of how much decision making power
right,
Mike
he'd
has.
Right, he'd never tear it down.
Well, not even that.
That's
pony.
The problem too.
That's
though.
Like I wrote to a buddy of mine who's actually an editor over at Yahoo, like who posts a lot of this stuff. That's how I see it. I said I can't get behind the idea of a column saying tear it down when the person writing it says that the guy who presided over a lot of the decay should get to try to build it back up.
Right.
His lack of like any initiative in hiring good coordinators is part of the reason it's dying on the vine here.
But I think he's already gotten that shot. Like Belichick had the post Brady. Okay. Like now what are you going to do? You kind of like kick this guy out, even though he's the greatest quarterback of all time. what's your plan? What's your pivot? And his plan was Mac Jones. And then Mac Jones failed spectacularly. And instead of giving him a mulligan on Mac Jones, they fired him.
And then they did have, like, they fired him, though, with the understanding that they were going to hire his coach in waiting that he had handpicked. Was a disaster.
I kind of look at that as a one-year continuation of Belichick.
Like, even though Mayo had somehow turned, like, made it look decent.
No, I mean, like, that's to me like a continuation of the Belichick regime. Keeping, like, yeah, Belichick was there through 2023, but I really feel like he was there through 2024 because they didn't rip the Band-Aid off. They just kept his protege on for an extra year. And then they said, screw it. Like, we're going to go get somebody from outside the organization.
Except not really, because Vrabel played there.
You get what I mean, though. Like, a coach that's not...
currently on our staff.
He never coached under Belichick, though. He just played for Belichick.
Humiliated him in a playoff game.
Yeah.
Too.
You know, like, so, like, this whole idea, and what I'm saying is Tomlin has had, since Ben retired, he's been allowed to play all kinds of different quarterbacks. He's been allowed to play a first-round rookie quarterback. He's been allowed to play a reclamation project quarterback.
A third-rounder with a first-round grade in Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, two future Hall of Fame quarterbacks. I mean, he's gotten, like, one thing, and they're not going to do this, but if they fired him, he couldn't say that they didn't give him a chance to fix, to like, find the next guy. He's cycled through a half dozen.
Let me ask you a question.
How many coaches get that kind of grace?
No, he's the only one. Marvin Lewis got it for a while because Cincinnati probably had, like, a contract that you know, they had
to pay
out. But
Marvin Lewis was in a weird spot where Andy Dalton... was a good quarterback.
Was good enough
but
to get them to the playoffs, and they kept stubbing their toe. Yeah,
yes.
Correct. I'm just curious. Do you think if Mike was left to his own, not left to his own devices, but if he got an edict, hey, Mike, we're bad this year. Say they go 7-10. We're going to get a quarterback here. There's at least a handful we like. We'll trade up if we have to get one that we like. But I want you to hire a different offensive coordinator. You've got to, like, fully turn over control of how the offense runs, what its philosophy is, all of that. We're scrapping it. Maybe Arthur Smith goes somewhere in the offseason to a different gig because he gets mentioned occasionally with some of these head coach openings.
Yeah.
Do you think Mike would hire anybody worth a crap?
No.
Neither do I. And if you can't answer that question in the affirmative, that you think that the head coach here has learned his lesson enough that he would, at bare minimum, shepherd in a new first-round quarterback with an up-and-coming offensive coordinator and not like a retread, if your answer is no, he wouldn't do that, he should be gone.
Okay, so he inherited Bruce Arians. Bruce Arians retired, in air quotes, after 2011. Mike Tomlin has had four offensive coordinators that he
technically
presided
hired.
Over. Yeah, right. Who do you think was the best one?
You counting Haley?
Yeah.
By far, Todd Haley.
Do you think he hired him?
No.
So that means that Mike was 0 for 2 with Fichtner in Canada.
Fichtner was hired because he was Ben's buddy. Canada was hired because he worked in the same building as the Steelers with Pitt for a while. And now Arthur Smith has been, like, better than those two, but not as good as Haley.
I'd say that Arthur Smith is a league average offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Right.
I think that's right.
With no resume of developing quarterbacks or making them better.
With a resume of, like, turning Ryan Tannehill from a guy who was a guy and, like, getting the best out of him for a handful of years. I think that's a fair statement.
I mean, did he get the best out of him, or did he happen to have a transcendent running back in the backfield next to him?
You still had to get Ryan Tannehill to play the football he played, which was very good. I'm not going to dock him because he had Derrick Henry.
Really?
I'm not going to just say he didn't get, like, the best football of Tannehill's career out of him. He did. Like, objectively, that was the best Ryan Tannehill has ever been in the NFL.
Okay. I mean, yes. I mean, he had 33 touchdowns and 7 interceptions.
It's not even
one year.
Okay, yes. It's just okay, yeah, that's true.
No, not entirely, man. I mean, in 2014 with the Dolphins, he had 27 touchdowns and 12 picks and threw for over 4,000 yards. That's a good year.
What did they go, 9-7 or 7-9?
They were 8-8.
Okay. Pick the middle bowl of porridge. Back when I think our old boss had me host a couple shows in Miami for the station he took over. Host a couple shows from the studio down the hall here, and so I had to talk a lot of Ryan Tannehill.
I mean, for 2 years he threw touchdowns and didn't throw interceptions. And one of those years they went to the AFC Championship game. So obviously he made it work there with him, and Tannehill played well. But it's just like what you said about Daniel Jones in Indianapolis. It's not like he took a piece of crap quarterback. The guy was the 8th pick in the draft and had gone to... you know, done decently in Miami.
Well, he unlocked for 2 years what had only been previously unlocked for a little bit and never had yielded a great season. I guess my point is, though, when we talk about the next quarterback, if we can't answer in the affirmative that we think Tomlin would ever surround the guy with somebody who really had some chops and was like a sought-after coordinator, then he shouldn't be on the job anymore.
Here's Steve on the fan. Hello, Steve.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, man.
My thoughts are this. I think everybody had the knee-jerk reaction as far as with Rodgers goes. I mean, Rodgers, for the first few games, was like the MVP. I think everybody's entitled to a bad game, and I feel that's what happened in this situation.
It wasn't a bad game.
He didn't have very much help.
Let's be honest with each other. It was not a bad game. It was way worse than a bad game.
It was an awful game. Like, he was legitimately terrible.
Bad game is like, you know, one touchdown, two interceptions, 240 yards.
Miss a throw here or there.
They had 3 points with, like, 3 minutes left in the game.
Well, I'm not going to say that it was a poor showing. It sure was. But, I mean, you can look around the league and you can see Jordan Love on Monday Night Football. He did not look very good either.
Jordan Love. Jordan Love looked way better last night in a game where they scored 7 points than Aaron Rodgers did on Sunday.
Well, I still feel that he's going to have a better game coming up.
Of course he is. They're playing the Bengals. Well, wait a minute. You don't think there's any shot he's washed? He's 41 years old.
I'm not saying he's not in his prime no more, but I'm not thinking he's that bad either.
So how many quarterbacks in the NFL are better than him?
How many?
Yeah.
Like, if you had to have one guy in the NFL start a game for you at quarterback, how many would you name?
Is he top 5? Is he top 10?
How many would you name before you named Rodgers?
Is he top 20? Is he top 25? What is he?
I would probably say, I could probably name 9.
9 quarterbacks.
He's the 10th best quarterback in the NFL?
At this point in time, there's not many that
are going to get out of here. Hold on. Can we do a quick, let's do a quick exercise, Steve.
Get out of here.
Steve, would you rather have Drake May start a game than Aaron Rodgers?
Yes.
Josh Allen?
Yes.
Patrick Mahomes?
Oh, yes.
Lamar Jackson?
Yes.
Sam Darnold?
At this point in time, yes.
Justin Herbert, who just beat him?
Yes.
Matt Stafford, who's right now the co-favorite for the MVP?
Yes.
Who am I leaving out here that's ripe? Jalen Hurts.
I mean, Jalen Hurts just won a Super Bowl, so you're going to say yes to that. But
Dak Prescott.
He's not really having a very statistical good year either.
The reigning Super Bowl champion quarterback, you would waffle here.
Well, I'm just saying that if you're looking at stats.
Okay, how about Dak Prescott? He's got a lot of stats.
He has a lot of stats, but he never wins.
How about Jared Goff?
I think Goff is a product of his situation.
Okay, I'm going to just. Yeah,
I hung up on him first, Pony.
Goodbye.
Let it be known.
Goodbye. Come on now.
What are we doing here? I love playing the counting game because it reveals the depths of how far people are willing to go to try to defend their point. Too far in that case. Is there a single GM in the entire NFL who would take Dak Prescott and Aaron Rodgers right now and say, man, I got to decide who
Mark
I want to start
Cabali
for my
described
team?
Mark Cabali described Aaron Rodgers as a geriatric patient. And we got a guy calling in saying, I'm not sure that Jalen Hurts is better, or I'm not sure that Aaron Rodgers. How do I want to say it? I'm not sure Jalen Hurts is better than Aaron Rodgers.
Sure, Jalen Hurts is the defending Super Bowl champion starting
and
quarterback.
MVP.
But
and MVP.
He's not having a statistically awesome year.
And MVP. Don't forget about that.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We have breaking news. Asante Samuel Jr. was supposed to visit the Steelers tomorrow and had a long list of teams he was talking to. Apparently, he cut the tour short and just decided to sign here. So it's initially for this corner with a spinal fusion surgery who just got cleared by doctors to play last week and was a free agent. The Chargers did not sign him to an extension. They did not pick up the fifth-year option on him. He signs to the practice squad initially, but I think there's a very good chance he is playing and brought up to speed very quickly. That's probably why he signed here, because he looked at it as the best opportunity to get on the field and
play,
get his NFL career back on track.
Mike was asked a pretty pointed, direct question about, like, how many corners do you feel like you've got?
Yeah.
And this might exist in Tomlin takes, but I'll paraphrase it now. He kind of said something to the effect of, well, we've got these three guys who all played last game, and he thought they played well, which I thought was funny because Echols got torched and some of those guys got torched late. Porter dropped a very easy interception.
Yep.
But the way he answered a question about his corner depth, there was a little hitch in his giddy up, and I thought
that
I was
made you think.
Yeah, I was starting to wonder. Did you get that too?
I didn't even think about connecting the dots there, but that's good deductive reasoning on your part, because now in hindsight, it does make it seem like he knew he had this in his back pocket. The same way Jerry Jones was talking about trades that he had made, even though the news wasn't out yet.
Donnie, I'm two for two. The maybe the McAfee thing with Mark and calling Aaron Rodgers a geriatric patient. The Malzahn inference brain is working today.
Steelers reporter John Carney tweeted this out.
Josh Carney. John Carney was a kicker for a very long time in
the Chargers.
Chargers,
that's why I'm probably thinking Chargers.
Yep.
Samuel, 35 missed tackles in 3 1/4 seasons.
He'll fit right in.
That's a lot of missed tackles.
He will fit right in.
Pro Football Focus, take that with a huge grain of salt. Did not like him last year, but he didn't play a lot last year because of that injury. So,
last spinal fusion guy I can remember, or spinal stenosis, was Jarvis Jones, from my recollection. Stenosis and fusion, I guess, two different things, but still.
What grade did they give him in 2023?
Because it
was only 4 games last year, yeah.
Why did you ask me this right now?
Because we're talking about Asante Samuel Jr., and I figured you'd already kind of looked it up. And
well, sometimes I know that you can get triggered a little bit by these PFF grades and get angry at me.
Yeah, maybe I will.
Here we go. Asante Samuel Jr., 2023, his PFF grade, Pony, was 73.9, which is quite good.
They tweeted at Jordan Schultz, they being PFF, after Schultz broke this news, and they said 25 forced incompletions in his last 2 healthy seasons. That's 11th most among cornerbacks in the NFL. Now, how do you define forced incompletions? Like, subjectively, they look at the play and say the wide receiver would have caught the ball if not for
the
corner made?
Obvious, what obvious ones are passes defensed. He got his hand on the ball before it got there.
Yep.
I would also think plays like, which I think there were a couple of in the Steelers game, ball hits receiver in hands, but corner knocks ball away, like gets, you know, jars ball loose or whatever.
Yep.
Gets hand in there. That's happened to Metcalf a couple times recently. I'd even say also, although it doesn't sound like he's this kind of guy as far as the missed tackles go, if you hit somebody after they make a catch and knock a ball loose just with a good tackle or a good hit, that would count.
Thornhill was cut, and Mike Tomlin said yesterday that he basically sucked. That's what he said today when asked about Thornhill. I'm starting to think that Slay is going to suffer a similar fate. I'm not saying yet he's going to get released, but Tomlin was very, 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 very complimentary of James Pierre today, and I've long thought that James Pierre was just a guy. I do think he's actually played well when he's been thrust into duty this season.
Oh, Mike waxed poetic
yes,
about
he did.
Him
like,
today.
Told his whole life story.
He was only one of, like, 7 guys who was an undrafted player in the COVID year. I didn't even meet him till camp.
I think you need young legs out there. I think you need guys that can run with people. And so, like, if the strategy moving forward is Porter on one side and then let the best man win between Samuel and Pierre, see if Pierre's a flash in the pan, which he probably is, or let this guy, who at one point had a lot of pedigree, I mean, his dad was a really good NFL corner, and he was, I said first round pick, I was wrong, he was a second round pick,
Top 50 pick, though.
Yeah, I mean,
good
those,
pedigree. Mike likes guys who go and play well at big schools, and he's a Florida State guy.
Yeah, so those would be the two guys, and then I think Slay is just like an admission on their part that they gave him too much money and thought at his age he could still get it done.
I think that's the Slay thing I'm not going to give them too much of a pass for, because everyone we've talked to who really looks at what these guys are doing and in what scheme they're doing it in said he was a horrible scheme fit for what they wanted. That he wasn't being asked to do anything with the Eagles that on the surface the Steelers were going to ask him to do.
Any text messages from Dan Potash on Asante Samuel Jr.? Do we have his scouting report as the resident Chargers expert here?
I'll send Danny a text.
Why don't you get in the group text and say, give us the skinny.
So you want me to put it all with all of us?
Yes, that way like he might feel additional pressure.
Oh, I get it. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Donnie, your quick reaction to this move.
I mean, I think it's another one of those moves that like there's no reason not to make. I mean, he's still young. I know that the injury is a little bit worrisome and serious, but I mean, he's a guy who's what, 26 years old, and
like it more than MVS. That pickup?
Oh yeah, I do.
Hold on, are we answering that question on the sliding scale of just in a vacuum and not, oh, they're going after yet another piece of defensive help, like the whole where we all get sick of how much attention?
Who
they
do you think? It just seems very low risk. And
who do you think
has
a better chance of contributing to their team, MVS or Asante Samuel Jr.? I think Samuel Jr.
So do I.
Even though MVS has got a rapport with Rodgers.
I mean, the thing about Samuel Jr. is, unless he's like making a... We all know what good cornerback play looks like, even in the absence of like INTs. If he's on the field in, what, 2 weeks for Chicago, and he's doing a decent job against Adunze or somebody like that, yeah, sure.
See, Donnie's into it. Donnie just got life again. He's tweeting out the videos of Samuel having that career game against the Jaguars in the playoffs.
Three picks?
Yeah. Don't look up the second half of that game, though.
Well, I know what happened in the second half. I watched it.
No, I'm saying specifically him.
Yeah, he was getting
cooked. I'm not just talking about happened.
I don't think it's a good second half for their entire team.
Yeah, but he specifically got absolutely torched in the second half of that game.
He went from having like the greatest first half by a corner ever to having the worst second half by a corner maybe ever.
That is objectively true.
Well, if you mix that with the Steelers, they have a guy that could actually play well in the first half of a playoff game.
Do you know what's
a good sign?
Yeah, that is a good point.
Funny thing about that game, just for PFF purposes, Pony.
I bet he got a good grade.
He got a 94 in that game.
Of course. Yeah.
They picked on him. I remember that. I was at my neighbor's house. We were all like watching it kind of incredulous. He was getting picked on bad in the second half.
So does this give you hope again? Was that the point of the tweet? Like, hey, we're back?
No, I mean, I just tweeted
Donnie's
out
just
a
football
single
guy.
Highlight of the player.
Oh.
Oh, if we psychoanalyzed every tweet you send out, we'd be
here
all day.
You guys do. You do that, actually.
Not every tweet. There's not enough hours in the day.
You say, I look at your tweets, and then I try to discern and psychoanalyze from those tweets what we're going to talk about for the day. So you do actually do that.
Well, that's just a fun game Donnie and I like to play about.
Oh,
what's
so I'm
Pony
not allowed to have
on.
Fun games thinking about what Donnie's tweets mean?
Unless the guy turns into his dad playing against Peyton Manning in a snowy Foxborough stadium, then no, I wouldn't say hope is completely restored.
Tony, I will give you this much credit. I like a Brent Musburger nod that I just saw when I looked at your Twitter feed. Donnie, did you see what he did to promote the fact that we're streaming live on X, formerly known as Twitter? You are looking live at two jabronis.
All right, I'm going to ask one more question about this move to
sure.
Donnie. Does this make up for not making a trade at the deadline?
No.
Did Omar redeem himself today?
No, because I wasn't really like super concerned about that side of the ball. I mean, I wanted them to make a move for one of the receivers. So them, I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm glad that they're going to take a chance here on him.
Yeah.
But it's not going to completely redeem that they didn't go after or didn't finish the job on getting one of those receivers.
I think I actually like the move overall, just generally speaking.
Well, there's nothing not to
it's
like
just,
about
it's just
it.
A guy
You're taking
with
a
some
flyer on a guy.
With some actual pedigree. They've had such a hell of a time developing any corners that they draft.
I mean, that's what I mean. It's
virtually every competent corner they've brought in, or I would say good, has been somebody they've had to import from outside. Hayden is the main example. I mean, even Dante Jackson when he was here, or Steven Nelson was not bad here that 1 year. Who could forget Nelson Island?
I just like the what I do like is they're not just sticking with their guys because
we signed them and
we believe in them and blah 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 blah. It's like, no, Thornhill stunk, get him out of here. No, Slay has been bad. Let's find possible replacements for him. That I like. Like, that to me is that is an evolution of the Steelers. I don't think that Kevin Colbert was wired that way. If Kevin Colbert was still the Steelers GM, I don't think Asante Samuel Jr. would be here right now. Like, that is one thing I'm giving Omar credit for, while also agreeing with Donnie and being like, dude, I'm not just going to give you credit for trying to get wide receivers. You actually have to get a good one.
Well, I think I'll give Tomlin a little bit of credit on defensive backs here. I think Mike signs off on this kind of stuff, believing I can coach these guys up even more. I can get one more good year out of Darius Slay, even though he's in his mid-30s. So for him to cut bait halfway through with Thornhill, and I think you're right, I think kind of intangibly with Slay, is a good sign.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In balance here.
Football Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus, streaming November 16th. That's this weekend on Paramount Plus. It's the return of Landman from Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone. Great show. Academy Award winner Billy Bob Thornton back, featuring Academy Award nominees Demi Moore, who was married to Ashton Kutcher at one point, Andy Garcia, and Sam Elliott. Landman, new season streaming November 16th only on Paramount Plus. Donnie is going to give you his biggest football topic of the day here in the debrief, brought to you by Saloni's Italian Bread Company, over 100 years of baking experience. Donnie sent out an incredible picture of him with his two grandfathers on Twitter, who were both veterans. Both served the United States military in Korea. Which branch of the military were they in, Donnie? Do you know?
They were just both Army.
Army.
Yeah.
Malsey's a Navy man. Malsey's headed to Navy, what is it, South Florida on Saturday?
Navy USF,
You'll watch Hyden, right.
I'll be in Naptown.
I've heard Tuska,
yeah. Well, they got stomped by Notre Dame, which was kind of tough.
Well, they had to play their backup, that quarterback.
Yeah, but I think that would have made it a little bit closer, but not...
they hung around for about 25 minutes of that game.
Yeah, but then it gets, when they're off script, it gets away from them. Yeah, Eli's he's the all-time leading touchdown reception guy at Navy. Yeah, he's gone there for a place that doesn't throw the ball a lot and actually put up very good numbers. You know whose record he broke? Phil McConkey.
Yeah, I could have guessed that.
Phil McConkey. No relation to Ladd. But yeah, I've heard Annapolis is like a very fun place.
And
good weather too. Sunny. And high 50s, low 60s while we're there. As Joe Starkey would say and do.
I went there for the Military Bowl when they lost to, when Pitt lost to Navy.
Keenan Reynolds was. Oh my God, did he run all over them? Oh my God.
Their fans could not have been nicer and more respectful. One of the things they said at halftime of that game when I was in the hall or in the concourse and they recognized that I was from Pitt, the only thing Pitt had done in that game, I think, was return to kickoff for a touchdown.
Mm hmm.
And they said, man, you guys have some great special teams.
They're just complimenting.
Just like one
left
of those.
Right.
Yeah. Like just, they couldn't bring to themselves to say anything mean. So they just found the one narrow positive that Pitt.
So when they go to play Notre Dame and Navy fans travel, is it just like the friendliest crowd in history?
Probably.
Just all trying to out compliment each other? Yeah, I'm excited for it though. I mean, we're making the somewhat questionable decision maybe to take the boys with us. We just did not want to like basically ask a relative, hey, can you watch the kids for 2 days, two and a half, whatever it is? And so they've never seen a football game in stadium like that, ever. No, I guess technically they've watched a Montour Pee Wee game, but I'm interested as to how Lennox specifically is going to react to it.
I texted BMAC about Asante Samuel Jr., and he gave me a four-letter response. D-A-W-G.
Did you mistakenly text Pat McAfee?
I said, are you an Asante Samuel Jr. fan? Yes, dog.
What if the four letters were N-E-C-K, as in he just had it surgically repaired?
And a good guy. Not only is he a dog, he's a good guy and a nice guy. And
strong
a big
guy?
And a strong guy.
5'10", 180.
So he gets a BMAC seal of approval from one Florida State corner to another. Donnie, what do you got in the debrief?
The debrief, November 11, 2025. We'll talk about another defensive back. Travis Hunter, his season is over. He underwent knee surgery earlier today. The two-way player, should he just consider staying on one side of the football when he comes back? He is expected to return to football activities in 6 months.
Wow. Unfortunately, I think, Donnie, we might have to hand it to Pony again, who was very much not a member of the Travis Hunter hype train. I think his biggest reason was he felt like the Jags would mess it up by trying to split the baby.
Yep.
And so far, they've done that. And I think they're actually picking the wrong side of this. If they end up making him a wide receiver permanently, which they sort of started leaning towards, if you think he's an elite corner, and I do, if he's just playing that position, I think it's harder to find those guys than it is wide receivers.
I think he's a wide receiver too, and I think he's a cornerback one.
And he might be the best corner in football if they like let him focus on it, and I got to admit that I'm wrong. I thought he was going to break like new ground, kind of like football Otani, and he is not.
He to me, like, did not distinguish himself as a wide receiver in terms of, like, his body type. And, like, there's nothing about him as a wide receiver that makes me think he's an unstoppable guy. Like, he'd have to be Antonio Brown.
The ball skills as a corner, like, the breaks he got on the ball, all that stuff's elite.
He's not built like Calvin Johnson or any of those guys or Randy Moss. Like, it's about, like, being able to get open fast and then catch the ball and run a long way. I think the logic, too, to playing him at corner is it's harder for him to get injured. I think I'd rather be the one giving the hits than taking the hits.
I mean, in his case, you're just hoping they don't throw the ball at him. Also, weird injury in the sense that, did you see what it actually was, Don?
LCL?
LCL.
Man, dead serious here.
Yep.
I have heard more about injury, like dogs suffering LCL tears than people. Like, it's just the ligament that you never hear about athletes tearing. It's ACL, MCL, you hear meniscus. You'll occasionally, if you get a really bad one, like McGahee's awful-looking one when he was in college, the PCL gets in there. You never hear about the LCL, ever.
My dog Poppy had a pus ball burst on her back today, and it was all over the place.
Man, I am so glad that I know that now,
yeah.
That a giant ball of pus exploded out of your dog's
back.
Yeah,
Amanda was worried about it at first.
How's Poppy doing?
I think much better. She like used some kind of laser treatment on it, and now she's fine.
How's Cammy doing? No teeth. Does Stella still just get right in there and Cammy tries to like
bites the hell out of her, but no teeth.
So Stella thinks that the dog is playing with her.
No, she says she's mean now. BMAC, moron Samuel, hasn't played a meaningful game in almost a year. That's right. So it's a bit far-fetched to think right now he's going to step in and play well. However, this is a move that will show benefits in December.
Can you ask BMAC one more question?
Sure.
How quickly can he get up to speed and play, like with this defense? Ask him on the Tomlin moving train scale.
How quickly can he get up to speed and play?
Yep.
What did Potash say about it?
We have not gotten a Potash response to my knowledge yet.
Getting big time by Potash.
I wrote thoughts on Asante. Well, you know what the problem is? Is he in Sweden?
Oh, that might be a good point. Well, what time is it in Sweden right now?
What time do you think it is in Stockholm? I think it might be later.
I'm going to say 10:30.
Stockholm time. It's 10:37, brother. He might be asleep.
What?
It's 10:37.
But for his body, it feels like it's 5:30 in the afternoon or 4:30 in the afternoon. He ain't sleeping right now. If he's there, he's out with his buddies. He's out with Penguins media, Penguins players, you know, all that good stuff. Donnie, you brought up Hunter, which makes me think the Jaguars are still must be on your radar to some degree. If you had to guess right now, the three wild card teams in the AFC, who would you go with?
I mean, could I say either the Patriots or Bills, or are you telling me to pick between the two there?
I think that's fair for the exercise
here. Yeah,
that's fine. If you like just say whoever doesn't win that division,
yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. So it's either going to be the Patriots or Bills.
Yep.
I even though the Broncos at 8-2 don't really impress when they play, they do already have 8 wins, and I think there's a pretty easy
hard to F that one up once you've got 8.
Track to them getting to like the magic number that we think is 10 or 11.
Yep.
They got the Raiders they'll beat.
I think it's going to be whoever doesn't win the AFC East, and then it'll be the second and third place teams in the AFC West. I think the Chiefs are going to get in.
Okay.
Then I think it's going to be the Broncos and the Chargers, any combination there. South and the North get one team.
So you look at that loss to the Chargers as like a debilitating
one
for the wild card for the Steelers.
Yeah, I mean, as of right now, the Steelers, to me, have to be outside looking in, even though they're technically in.
So I think that the Chargers are likely to be 9-3. I think they're going to beat the Jags on the road. Although
I
was just going to say that feels like
a
classic
Chargers
game,
spot.
Classic game that if we're picking it on PM Team Picks, Pony's going to take the Jags, and I'm going to go, no, the Chargers are too good, and then I'm going to feel like an idiot. They should beat the Raiders at home off the bye week. And then I got to believe they get at least 2 of their last 5, Eagles at Chiefs, at Cowboys, Texans, at Broncos. If they beat the Jags, if they don't pull a Chargers there, I mean, you can put them in damn near an ink.
I think Jacksonville's still alive. They haven't played the Titans yet.
Feels like a bad time to be saying that about them, though, with how they screwed the pooch Sunday.
But here would be my silver lining. Not that when you blow a 19-point lead, there should be one. You score 29 points against Houston's defense.
No, they
That's
got it
the
going.
Best defense in the NFL, and you didn't have Brian Thomas, and who else was hurt for them? Hunter, obviously, who they're not getting back now. Myers didn't do much in that game. I think he had like 4 catches for 40-something yards.
When I checked in on him, he was at like 2 for 30.
Shaheed had 1 catch for Seattle, but they basically put
that
it
game
in
was,
park
that was
after
a
they
preseason
went up 35
game.
To nothing.
That was a preseason game. Is Smith and Jigba the best receiver in the league right now? Is he better than Chase right now? 1,041 yards, leading the league in yards per game and yards. Only 5 tutties, but...
No, I don't think he's better than Chase, but I think he's really, really
top
good.
Top 3?
Yes. Yeah.
That feels validating, because I saw him in the Rose Bowl and thought, that guy's got to be the best receiver on that team, and he's absolutely better than
How
Harrison
is that validating?
Jr.
Didn't you say to draft Broderick Jones ahead of him?
Well, that just is more about my misevaluation of Broderick Jones.
Wait a minute. Do I have the right... I don't think I have the right draft there. I think I'm talking about Fautanu and him.
2023 draft.
Yeah, Fautanu.
No, Fautanu was 2024.
Okay,
draft.
Now
you do have it right.
I do have it right. Why am I second guessing my brain?
No, I just remember thinking, man, that guy's better than Harrison Jr. and all those other guys. And you know what he's done, by the way? It's a complete, not completely BS, but you know how people say like, oh, so-and-so's a first-round talent, but he's only a slot guy? He had that reputation. He lines up on the outside predominantly for them now. I think it's working out just
Chris.
Fine for the Seahawks.
Broderick Jones went 14th. Will McDonald, who had 4 sacks last week, went with the next pick.
Yes.
Christian Gonzalez, who's a legit number one corner, went 17th, which is where the Steelers originally were picking. Kalijah Kancey went 19th, who's out for the year, but when he plays is an absolute animal. And JSN went 20th. I mean, dude, there were 4 or 5 guys who they could have drafted there who would be...
Jones is just a late bloomer.
Sure, yeah.
He'll bloom when he gets to the UFL in a couple of years.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.